How's everybody doing? Welcome back to another episode of The Banker Next Door. I am your host, Dr. Joe Berquist. Huge happening this weekend. Republic Bank, based over in New Jersey, was basically taken over by federal regulators on Friday afternoon, closed down, and most of which was sold off to Fulton Bank, which, as people over here in the tri-state area knows, Fulton Bank's a rather largeable, locally headquartered player here in this area. Their headquarters is in the county of Lancaster in southeastern Pennsylvania. They're probably about a $27 billion asset bank, so pretty sizable bank in the area. We kind of have in the tri-state market, we kind of have two, as far as locally headquartered banks, we kind of have two big players. We have Fulton Bank out in Lancaster, and then down in Philadelphia, we have WSFS. Both banks are over $20 billion in asset size, and you know, they're the two kind of, you know, big local players as far as people that are headquartered locally. But I did put a link down in the description back in episode 79. I kind of covered what I called the soap opera that was Republic First Bank. Now, Republic First is not to be confused with First Republic, which was a much, much larger regional bank out in California that coincidentally failed 1 year ago in April of 2023 during the what I call the crypto banking crisis, where, you know, you had a Signature Bank and Silicon Valley Bank and Silvergate Bank all failed in March of last year, and then followed by First Republic, which was just part of, you know, what I consider kind of the collateral damage from that fallout. So over here on the East Coast, we had Republic First Bank, and which is more commonly known locally as just Republic Bank. The parent company is Republic First Bank Corp. But what happened here? So let's bring in a couple articles here real quick. I just wanted to show you guys. So this is from local Philadelphia Business Journal here. So this has Republic First fails, FDIC sells bank's assets to Fulton Financial, Fulton Bank. So the FDIC closed struggling Republic First Bank Corp on Friday and reached an agreement with Fulton Financial Corp to assume all of the Philadelphia-based bank's deposits and its 32 branches. The FDIC said all branches and subsidiary Republic Bank will reopen on Saturday and Monday as branches of Fulton Bank. Friday night and over the weekend, the FDIC said Republic Bank depositors can access their money by writing checks or using ATM or debit cards. Checks drawn on Republic Bank will continue to be processed, and loan customers should continue to make their payments as usual. Depositors will not need to change their banking relationship in order to retain their deposit insurance coverage. Republic First is the first U.S. bank to fail in 2024, following three high-profile failures last year. As of January 31st, the FDIC said Republic had approximately $6 billion in total assets and $4 billion in total deposits. The FDIC estimated that the cost of the Deposit Insurance Fund, or DIF, related to the failure of Republic Bank will be $667 million. The FDIC said it determined that compared to other alternatives, Fulton Bank's acquisition could be the least costly resolution for the DIF, an insurance fund created by Congress in 1993, yada, yada, yada. Republic Bank has been in turmoil for more than 2 years and reached a crossroads earlier this year when it lost a second chance at a capital raise in less than a year. On February 28th, an investment group led by South Jersey power broker George Norcross and former TD Bank U.S. CEO Greg Braca terminated its planned $35 million lead investment that would have given it control of the company. So, and then let's just take a look at a couple other articles real quick. So, and then this was just, you know, regulators seized troubled Philadelphia bank, a Republic First, you know, regulators seized the troubled bank and sold all of its assets. This bank failure, blah, 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 blah. So Republic First is much smaller than Silicon Valley Bank, Signature Bank, and the similarly named First Republic, which each had between roughly $100 billion and $200 billion in assets. And since there is a buyer, the government won't be left with the decision over whether to backstop deposits over the FDIC limit of $250,000, as it did with SVB and Signature. The long drawn-out failure also gave depositors more time to prepare as compared with the rapid collapses of last year. You know, the FDIC said it expected the failure, even with the deal, to cost insurance fund about $667. We already got that. And then let's see here. Fulton Bank buys most of Republic Bank upon FDIC receivership. And it basically says the Pennsylvania Department of Banking and Securities took possession of Republic First Bank unit, Republic First Bank, due to its unsafe and unsound condition. The agency appointed the FDIC as receiver. And off we went. And then let's see here. Republic First becomes the sixth largest bank failure since 2010. Beleaguered Republic First Bank Corp. Inc. became the first failure of 2024. And, you know, after asset seizures reached a record high in 2023. And then here it just lists out some of the bank, you know, recent U.S. bank failures. Right here we could see Republic First Bank. We could see Citizens Bank. And it looks like Iowa, Heartland Tri-State Bank, which I covered in an earlier episode, First Republic Bank, Signature Bank, Silicon Valley Bank, and then on down the list there. So, and then let's see, is there anything else here? Yeah, I mean, you can just see that this is kind of an interesting little chart here. For the podcast audience, we're looking at a chart of basically like total assets, basically like the total cost of some of the bank failures that occurred. And we could see here that the banks that failed in 2023 were basically some of the largest ever, even larger than 2008, at least in terms of asset size. And then Republic Bank becomes again the first bank to fail here in 2023. So let's get out of here for a second. So let's talk about for a second here some of the things. Let's talk about the big question in the room. Is the failure of Republic Bank going, is this a domino that's going to lead to a bunch of other regional bank failures? No, it's not. Republic First Bank was a $6 billion bank, which is a nice size small bank, but it's still considered a community bank. I mean, any bank that's under $10 billion in asset size, according to the FDIC and the OCC by their definition, is just a community bank. That's not of enough of a size to cause any kind of major, you know, headways in what's going on with the banking system in general. Like the article said, all the banks that failed last year were well over $100 billion in asset size, making them some of the largest banks in the country. And obviously much larger ramifications if you have $100 billion bank fail versus a $6 billion bank. So I'm not seeing any, you know, major ripples as far as that's concerned. This is not going to be any kind of a domino effect, which is going to lead to other bank failures in the area. That's not going to happen. And, you know, this bank has been in trouble for the last 2 years. There's been board fights galore with this board member getting kicked out and these board members being brought in and this board member getting kicked out and this board member getting brought in and this investment group trying to buy in and then this investment group trying to buy in and all these people mad at each other and lawsuits flying every which way. It's just been a mess. And there's a couple key things that have happened. Republic Bank, they got delisted from the NASDAQ. Their stock value just plummeted to nothing. I think on Friday it was trading at 1 cent, and that was before the regulators came in and seized it on Friday afternoon. And, you know, but then you had a couple of other key events. Crow, the large, very large and well-known accounting firm, who was their accountant in February, got kicked to the curb because they found material weakness in the bank's internal controls, you know, and basically so their answer to addressing the weakness in internal controls and the material defects that they found was to fire the accounting firm. So I mean, that's not never going to end well. They had not filed their financials with the regulators for the last 2 years. And then the final straw was the Norcross Braca Investment Group that was going to invest in the bank. They were going to invest $35 million in the bank and get some seats on the board and try to help the bank with the turnaround effort. And their final straw was that basically the current board refused to call the annual shareholders meeting. Now, here's where it gets kind of interesting. Some people in the industry might say, well, why didn't they just sell? Like, why didn't they just sell themselves? That would have been the simplest solution. And that obviously, yes, of course. However, and I'm just going to put this out there. I don't know. I have no insider information. I don't have anything like that. But it just makes me curious. If there was fraud involved here, you couldn't sell the bank because then that would obviously, in during the course of due diligence, the fraud would be found out. The fraud would be exposed, and then it would go all go out. So you know, they fired their accounting firm because the accounting firm found a whole bunch of stuff in there. Now, we don't know if the accounting firm found anything that would rise to the level of fraudulent behavior, but the accounting firm certainly found a lot of things of serious concern, and then they got booted out. You haven't filed your financials in 2 years. I mean, this just leads me to believe that there was more stuff going on here. And the fact that the board would not call an annual meeting just tells me that there is a lot of stuff out there that the board did not want people to know about, that the board did not want to be made public. So I think it'll be very, very interesting to see what happens here in the next couple of weeks, maybe the next month, to see if there are any charges, whether civil or criminal, that are brought against the board members of the bank. We'll just have to see how that plays out. But this, this was a crazy situation. I really do think that this whole case should end up as a case in some banking textbook or in some business school out there, as, you know, a case in, you know, managerial mismanagement. You know, how to not run a board properly. What happens when you have board infighting, and what can the consequences be? Because, you know, you have a $6 billion bank here. You have thousands of customers that are no doubt now affected by this. You have hundreds of employees affected by this. And, you know, you have various stakeholders, you know, the community, there's a lot when you mismanage a bank like this and it goes down in flames. That sends a lot of ripple effects to all throughout the community, and a lot of people get affected by that. And so, this should not go by the wayside. This should hopefully remain as a warning to future bankers and to people in the industry right now, is to say, like, hey, you know, you got to make sure you're running your shop the right way, because if it goes down, it can be a disaster. So, that's it right now. Like I said, we got a Republic First Bank goes down in flames, gets repossessed, gets sold to Fulton Financial Corp, is now Fulton Bank. We'll have to see if there's any additional fallout to this. This becomes the first bank failure for 2024. We will have to see. I mean, obviously, this does not walk away from New York Community Bank or any of the issues still going on with those guys. I've got more to say about that in the banking update episode, if you guys want to check that out. But we'll continue to keep an eye on this and see what happens. Please go and check out some of the other episodes that I had posted up. I actually posted some really great interviews this weekend. I had an interview with Brian Nestor where we talk about health insurance plans for businesses. I think there was a lot of great stuff in that episode. I also posted my very first bank CEO interview with Robert White, who's the CEO of First Colonial Community Bank in New Jersey. It's based in New Jersey and Pennsylvania. So please go check that out. Check out the weekly banking update. And as always, you could find us on YouTube, Rumble, and all major podcast platforms. If you like this video, please make sure to like, share, and subscribe. Leave some comments. That always helps the channel. And I will be back to see everybody again real soon. Thank you so much.